So I'm Kathy Binner, and we are talking today about how to build a better business. And I want to go through just a brief overview before we get started with today's topic. It's a 12-step program. That sounds serious, doesn't it? 12-step program. There's 12 steps to building a better business. And number one is creating your value proposition statement. And then it's putting together your story, because your storytelling is your marketing. And then you can start serving other folks that are in your lane, and you can borrow their audience, and they in turn will borrow yours and bring you up on stage once they realize that you're there to serve them. And that really helps boost your business. And from there, folks are going to start wanting to connect with you. So you have to have a place to send them when they want to connect. And so that's when we start talking about your website. And building out your website and having what I want to call your bases, your first base offer, which is your free one, your second base offer, which is your mid-level one, your third base offer, which is going to be your bread and butter. So I always teach to reverse engineer that, pick the one that you're making the most money on, whatever that product is, whether you're selling a physical product or whether it's a digital product, but start there and then reverse engineer what you want your mid-level and your free to be, and then have a home run offer, which is the one that makes you go out and celebrate. And we can get into that in more detail when we get to that part of the course. But once you have your offers in place, then it's time to start marketing all those offers so that folks can find out what you're about, so they can find you. And that's when we start talking about social media and blogging and podcasting. And then the very last thing is public speaking. Because by the time you develop all of those parts and pieces of building a better business, you know your products inside and out, because you started from scratch on building this business. And so now when somebody says, hey, can you talk 20 minutes to a Chamber of Commerce group, you can say, sure. You don't even have to prepare, because you've already perfected your story. You've already perfected your products. You already know how all of that ties together. And so being a public speaker is basically kind of easy. And it's like everybody's biggest fear, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so nervous to be up in front of people. And, but once you go through this whole series, you're pretty comfortable with your material. And so one of the best ways, and this is, I want to go around and talk to everyone else, but one of the best ways to get started is, and we talked about this last month, is to create a podcast. Now, if you're not ready to create a podcast and be the podcaster, you might want to be the guest on a podcast. And that's a great way to start your public speaking, because it does a couple of things. Number one is you can have a crutch, which means, like, you see me here, you just see this part of me. So I could have notes down here that nobody can see but you. Whereas if you're on stage, you might not want to be tied to this piece of note paper. But when you're on a podcast, on a virtual podcast, where you're just being recorded, you know, for a podcast, or we'll call it either a blog or a vlog, where it's the video of you as well, like you see today, you can hide your notes. So that's kind of an easy way. And if you're a little self-conscious, maybe about how you look, you can kind of hide behind the camera a little bit, you know, whereas if you're on stage, you're just out there for everybody. And of course, I think one of our biggest fears is maybe we fear that folks are going to judge us on maybe how we look, you know, like, what is she wearing that for? Or did you see what that speaker was wearing? So sometimes we are worried that we're going to be judged. And even if we haven't verbalized that, that might be kind of hiding back there in the back of our minds. And so we have a tendency to maybe not put ourselves out there or say yes when we get the invitation to be on stage. So again, a virtual event like this is a perfect way to get started. Sherry has done several public speaking gigs. Linda has done several. Ada, I'm going to add, I don't want to put you on the spot because you're brand new with us this morning. So I'm going to start with Sherry. Sherry is my co-host, my co-mod, by the way, and Sherry might have to jump off. So I'm going to start with Sherry. So Sherry, tell us how you got started in the public speaking realm, and what types of public speaking have you done, and what is your favorite?
Okay. So she asks me so many questions and my brain is not functional today, but that's okay. Okay. So how did I get started? I got started because I wanted to change my life at home. And my life at home needed me to get out there and do something new and different. So I began by writing. And Linda, my book is behind you. You can just flip it up and show it to everybody then. Because I just happen to know that it is there, because Kathy puts everybody's stuff right there. Unless you have moved it and it's in the other room now.
It's in my bookcase now, Sherry. It's in my bookcase.
It's in the bookcase. Yeah. So
and
now
I've got
it's
it,
under
and
lights.
I've got it turned sideways so that everybody sees the title.
Is that in a different room? Go.
It is, yes.
Okay, because I don't know what I'm looking for.
Sherry's book is got a prominent spot in my bookcase.
You'll get to see it later, I suppose. Yeah. So anyway, now that I've talked about it. So I started writing, and then one of the things that goes along with that is, okay, now you got to put yourself out there. So I started doing some stuff on video, on Zoom, before Zoom was a thing. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of ironic the way, was that March 13th or whatever that day was? But before that, nobody would come on camera. 2 days later, everybody's turning on their camera. And since then, it has been definitely a much more open to having a camera on. It was just people who were having a fear of showing themselves, I guess, on camera. But so I started there. And one of the things that I did was I was a guest on a podcast summit. So that was a little different than an actual podcast itself, where somebody interviewed me to be part of their summit, and where they took a bunch of interviews and combined them into a short duration. And from that, I got my first big time speaking gig last July. And I was on stage.
How did you feel when you first got that? Did you hesitate saying yes?
I think at that point in time, my question to her was, do you just want me or do you want John Lee and me? So that was part of that, but when I said yes, but it was, which way do we go? I was going to do it either way. I didn't hesitate to say yes, because I followed Carrie's mantra of prepare for the moment and the moment is prepared for you. So for Ada, Kathy and I met through a mutual business coach, and that is one of his quotes that he says. So I felt prepared for that, for being out there. But as it kept coming closer, I kept going, I'm not prepared for this. I'm not prepared. Like, I was getting, after saying yes, I was starting to get the, but I got through it and I tried to be logical about it. And this is what I did wrong. And I keep refining what I'm doing wrong to make it clearer for the recipient. But so I've gone to some classes to learn how to do speeches. And this weekend, I'm in a contest where I have to tell my story in 1 minute.
Okay. Now, for those of you that are listening, Toastmasters is a great way to get started. And so what I did.
I did do that too.
Early on, I joined a local Toastmasters group. And it does kind of force you to really be concise with your message, because you get like 2 minutes to give a speech, and you have to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and you have to have a call to action. And it kind of allows you on an ongoing basis to practice that craft, which will make you more comfortable. The more you do it, the more comfortable you are. So Sherry, I've listened to Sherry's speeches. I taped one that she did in Miami. It was awesome. You're on mute.
Which happens to be on my homepage of my website. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay.
And so you can view that if you care to. It's at my name, which is sherrydaddera.com.
Yeah. And so it's wonderful to watch as Sherry has moved through the process, and she and I kind of started the process together, and we've kind of moved through this process together, which is why I made her my co-host, because there are some areas of this building a better business that she's ahead of me. And so that's why of all the folks that I'm connected with, I wanted Sherry to be my co-host on this particular theme of Build a Better Business, because she is down in the trenches working on her business. And it's amazing watching her put all of her parts and pieces together over the last year or so. And so it's not going to happen overnight. And so don't feel like you're going to go from zero to this famous onstage public speaker overnight. Mm-hmm. Because it's who you become. You've got some work to do on yourself before you're ready to be up there and be authentic, because there's a certain amount of nerves that go with being on stage. And so you have to be, what is it that the quote that I hear that, oh boy, is it forever true? A bigger stage will reveal you. A bigger stage will reveal the real you. It will reveal you. So sometimes you have to work on you and make sure that you are the person that you want to show up there before you say yes to that type of an opportunity to be on stage. Because when the nerves set in and you've got, you know, 500 or 200 or 500 or 1,000 people looking back at you, and you know that it's your job to basically either inform, inspire, entertain, or whatever your purpose is on stage, the nerves will kind of get the best of you. So you better be filled up with whatever your message is, because thinking kind of goes out the window. Am I right, Sherry? I remember when I taped Sherry, when she spoke in Miami, when she came down off the stage, she was like, what did I say? I said, you were fine. And Sherry just posted, show up, filled up. And so you have to do a little bit of work on yourself before you're ready to really put yourself out there. And you have to know, that's why the speaking is at the very end of all of this list of things to do, is to find out what is your VPS, what is your value proposition statement, what is the promise that you're giving to your clients. And yeah, I love that one too, Sherry. Prepare for the moment, and the moment is prepared for you. So you have to prepare for that moment by knowing what your VPS is, having your story crafted, because that's the cornerstone of your business, and then knowing who it is you're going to serve, who is your audience, and then making sure that your website and your products are kind of in place. And even if there's still some work to do there, you've got to have that general outline of where you're taking your audience. You know, what journey are you taking them on, and what transition do you want to see happen in your audience? What transition are you going to help them with? Are you going to guide them through? And so that's how your website should read. It should follow that transition. And once you have that in place, then you're ready to start putting yourself out there on social media, blogging, podcasting, and speaking. So let's jump over to Linda. Linda, tell us a little bit about your journey and how did you get started? What is your favorite type of speaking? And do you have anything coming up soon?
Yeah. It's interesting. I haven't really shared this with people, but a few years ago, before I started doing a bunch of speaking, I was working for a company, and I was working closely with the president of the company. And it was a family-owned company with a lot of employees, et cetera. And I was gathering data on the company. And the president of the company said, I want you to pull this all together in a speech and present it, and I will pay you $1,000. And it was going to be like 10 minutes maximum speech. And it was like, yeah, $1,000 for 10 minutes. Yeah. You totally do this. So it was a weird experience because he micromanaged my speech. And then he stole my punchline, because he had been micromanaging everything I was doing. he knew what my speech was. And then he like started vomiting it over the people that I was supposed to talk to. And then he gave me the floor. And, you know, he's like, okay, 2 minutes, go. And I was like, what?
Oh my.
So everything about that was bizarre, but I can say I got $1,000 for a 10-minute speech that I didn't have to give.
Wow, wow, wow. Now, how many nerves did you have leading into that? Were you kind of sweating a little bit? Like, oh my gosh, I got to get up in front of all these people.
No, because I was intimately involved in the conclusions and the data that I had been gathering.
Okay.
And I had like a great story. I think it was the $6,000 egg, if you've ever heard that one. And I was going to lead in with that. And the president like told them the story of the egg. I'm like, what the?
So he kind of stole part of your speech.
Oh yeah. He
wanted somebody else to be the creator.
Oh, it was the weirdest thing. And I was so happy to not be there forever. But anyway, later, I was working for another company, and I just knew that having been in entrepreneurial family and self-employed, like I couldn't punch a time clock. So I started looking for every opportunity to give a speech, do a training, do a keynote at a retreat, you know. And so I just started speaking. A lot of it was in local, like, networking groups that I was a member of.
Okay.
And it just, it gave me a frequent opportunity to have a platform. And I just started getting more and more comfortable with it. And I just gave a presentation Wednesday morning this week and, shared a lead magnet, a free PDF. And I created my own landing page and all the things that go with it. And so, yeah, it's just a growth path.
So what do you have coming up?
I'm going to do some kind of a workshop in December, probably on the idea of opening up lines of communication with your family. My PDF is Holiday Conversation Starters. And so I'll probably do a workshop on that. And that'll be pointing to my next group course for the Legacy of Love Project, which will launch in January.
I love it. I love it. This is fun just hearing what you guys are doing, because I love seeing you out there, and I love seeing what you're doing. And of course, I follow you on Facebook to see all that good stuff, which is a lot of fun. Ada, how about you? Tell us a little bit, what type of a business do you have, and what spot are you in developing your business?
Well, Kathy, thank you for asking me. Well, so I'm really at the very beginning of my journey.
Okay.
So I'm coming in, I guess, like you said, towards the tail end, but I guess I'll be ready for next time. when you come around to this topic in the future.
Well, and we're going to start from the top in January. So you're right in the perfect spot. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That's wonderful. I'll be there. So right now, I'm looking to start start small and grow over time in reselling. And part of the reason I'm doing that also is because it's something I've been thinking of doing for a number of years, and I've already had accumulated a good bit of inventory.
Okay.
So I'm starting there as my entry into e-com, and then I may expand into other areas down the line over time. But, you know, I'm going to allow myself to start on this level. And like you said, learn from the ground, mm-hmm. you know, just doing the, you know, on that level.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So what type of products do you sell?
Well, I haven't started yet. My goal is to launch within, ideally, fingers crossed and everything, within the next 30 days.
Okay.
It's, you know, starting at least, you know, getting set up and everything, you know, within the next 30 days. So that's my goal. And I will be selling items Of course, clothes, primarily, you know, primarily women's clothes at this stage. Jewelry, bags, handbags, and purses, things like that. And, you know, that's the staple. And then there might be some other items along the way.
Well, I love that you're doing that. And so I'm going to ask a couple of questions here up front. Are you definitely wanting to create your own brand, your own virtual store, or which is more important, having your own brand and your own virtual store, or having a big platform where maybe other stores like you are already located, where folks are already searching and might find you easier?
Yeah,
which is more important?
Oh, yeah. No, at this stage is just getting started and, you know, trying to learn and sell some items. I don't feel like I'm at the stage where I'm have that experience at this point where I want to like create my own store. So I will be going on platforms, you know, that already are known, you know, Etsy, you know, Poshmark and places like that, that you know, there's established and, you know, eBay,
okay, but you'll
like
be creating
that.
Your own brand there, yeah.
Yes,
because it's
going
to be your own storefront within that platform.
Yes, if that's what you meant, yes.
Yeah. Because you could have just your own standalone website and then have to do all your own marketing is one total end of the spectrum. Or you could be one of the suppliers on Amazon, for example, where Amazon's doing all of the marketing for you. And everybody orders from Amazon often these days.
Yes.
And so you would get a lot more visibility. And then those shopping websites, the Etsy's, the Shopify, those are kind of in the hybrids in the middle. So you do have people that go to those sites looking and then they'll discover you. And so it's kind of the nice middle ground. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm looking into that. Down the line is as far as the, you know, Amazon, but I have this inventory on hand, so I want to, like, you know, at least move.
Okay. Sherry just mentioned that she found out recently that there's a market on Etsy for her products for kids. So yeah, who knew? Yeah. So
woo-hoo.
I think you're in the right place, Ada. So as far as having a store and a storefront like that on Etsy or Shopify or, you know, one of those types of platforms, you can still market it in all these ways that we talked about with like social media and blogging and podcasting, and you can market what you're doing in all those ways. The only thing that I would recommend, and I'll get Cherry and Linda, let's mastermind this a little bit, to put yourself out there and create a story around your products and have a purpose for selling these products is going to give you a tremendous amount of mileage.
Okay.
For example, if, I don't know, what are you passionate about? Let's pick something that you're truly passionate about. Is there any kind of a cause that you've donated to in the past?
Yeah. I mean, there are a number. I mean, like for the St. Jude's Children's,
okay.
Also, like, because I have a family member who, you know, had some, you know, health issues and things that are very close, and I, you know, help caregive for them. Also, I have donated to, even when Amazon had it, looks like they discontinued where you can put a specific percentage of whatever you purchase towards charities. I forget the exact name, but it's for atrial fibrillation, which is a heart condition.
Amazon Smile, is that what you mean?
Yeah, Amazon Smile. It looks like they discontinued it sometime in the past year or so. But you know, I was for a number of years. Yeah, I was doing that through there.
So in my opinion, if you think on that a little bit and hold hands with a project like that, then you have something you can create a story around, especially if it's a personal story to you, a family member that's had an issue, or just something that you're really passionate about. And you can tie your products and services around that story as to this is why you're launching. and a certain amount of your proceeds get donated to that cause. And now all of a sudden you have created content for yourself that you could be a guest on podcast. You could have a blog post. You could do some public speaking because now there's a purpose behind your income.
Thank you. I like that very much. More Yes, more than just income, right? Yes. Yeah. It's kind of like, I guess, what do they say? Like the socialpreneur type of a thing. Right. Yeah. So yeah. It gives you more of a purpose, you know, an added purpose.
Right. Because there's a lot of marketing that if you're just selling, you know, shoes, or you're just selling dresses, or you're just selling purses, then all of a sudden a podcaster is going to go, well, what are we going to talk about? If I have her on my podcast, what are we going to talk about? Or what is she going to blog about? Or what is, you know, or are you just going to put ads out on social media? Buy my dress, buy my purse, buy my, you know. And so if you can tie that in with your story, with, you know, I started this business because, and it doesn't matter what your story is, but everybody loves a story. Your storytelling is going to be your marketing. And then when you tie it in with the purpose, all of a sudden, it opens up so many more marketing opportunities for you.
Yeah, I love that, Kathy. Yeah. Let me ask you a question about that. Since I'm looking to at least start, I mean, you know, I'll be starting, you know, modestly and everything to get myself going. So my question is, how soon do you think it's necessary? Do I need to have that from the very start? Can I implement it like in 60 day or 90 days once I at least get started after a little bit? That's my question.
What platform are you putting your products on?
Right now, I'm looking to start like probably with Etsy and Poshmark to get started.
Okay. Do they have a section in the platform? And I'd have to go look because I'm not familiar with either of those platforms that closely. But do they have a section where you can have an About Me page?
You know what? I'm still getting familiar with the platforms myself. That's why I say I will be starting. But I think they may, I'm not sure exactly what the format looks like in terms of the about page.
Okay. But I think they do.
I think they may have an area. I know where you can put a little bit. I think they do.
Okay. Well, if they have an About Me page, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit on the storytelling as your marketing. You could put your story together with once upon a time, here's where I was, but then I discovered that I could do this and I could then put some of the proceeds toward this great cause. And now I'm launching my store because of my story. And so make it about your customers. Like, you know, I'm doing this for this purpose. And so now I want to show you my products that I have to sell. And so you can create your About Me page and not make it look like an interview bio, you know, like I'm Ada and here I've got this many years of education. And then I did this and then I did that. And it makes it look like it's a job interview bio. That's what a lot of people put on their About Me page. And that makes the readers go, well, good for her. Yeah, I'm glad she did all that because it doesn't speak to them. See, so you want to see your About Me story on how you're doing this for others.
Yeah. So what it sounds like, if I understand you correctly, you're saying that at least I may not have to go into as much detail and in the very beginning and putting all the like backstory if I don't have it all together of my story yet, but at least give them something overall, just, you know, something to know where I'm coming from, where my intentions.
And again, you can edit that as you go. So, but just keep your customer in mind when you're writing, like what's in it for them.
What's in it for them
as you write and put your website together, and put your products up there. Just always ask yourself the question, as I'm creating this, what's in it for my customer?
Yeah. Yes, you're so right. Because you sometimes you're in situations where either you're reading comments or you're hearing someone, it's pretty much so people do have that attitude. Oh, well, good for you.
Yep, I get it. And you know, and we all it, you know, we all want to be good people. And so when I see that ad on television about the socks, where if you buy a pair, they donate a pair, I
Oh,
think if I'm
yeah.
going to order socks online,
Yes.
Bombas,
Bombas.
because that makes me feel better about myself because I was part of giving a pair of socks away, you know. And again,
Yeah, and
see, they make it about their customer because it makes their customer feel better to be a part of a bigger cause.
a brand new cozy pair of socks, which apparently is something that's very much needed,
So
especially in the
anyway, so
winter.
you get the point. So that's
Thank
my
you.
recommendation. Sherry, Linda, any comments for Ada?
I put some in the chat for her. There's a lady on Instagram called, her name is Storming Wellington. If you don't know her, she is a network marketer and she has her own website. Yes, she does the network marketing, but like she's the top seller because she has found a very good way of integrating her story and the network marketing together. And that is what sold her products, was the story behind why she was selling what she was selling. So just somebody that you can model after.
Somebody that you can call after.
And I kind of was,
And
yeah,
I
and I was kind of,
was
I'm sorry, I can't hear
I'm
you.
sorry, I can't hear you.
No, we're
No,
getting a little bit of an
we're
echo
getting
there. I'm gonna mute myself while you're talking, Sherry. It could be that I'm causing the echo.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll mute too. It could be me.
So the other thing, Ada, that I was gonna suggest say is I was trying to like go on to Etsy and find somebody's store. There seems to be an about page. I don't know how extensive it is because that particular person did not have anything on their about page, but it appears that they have them there. And the other thing that you can do is if you have a LinkedIn page, your about page could really be a detail of your story as well, in addition to the about page on Etsy. And you can align Facebook and LinkedIn and Etsy and Poshmark, did you say? All those about things together and basically say the same thing on all of them. So that, and they lead them all to the same place, similar to what Linda was talking about. She's down this way on my screen today, where she had something that people could download. And she's going to have a workshop in December, which is going to lead them to something bigger in January, which is some of the stuff, same stuff that I do. Now we're talking digital communication and workshops and things like that. You don't have to be doing that same thing, but you could be creating information to help people bite and have something for them to click on. The five best ways to do your hair, the five best ways, or the best fabric, five best fabrics for a woman's dress, or something like that will bring people in.
Or 5 ways to wear this scarf and then have the scarf for sale.
Yeah, there you go. I wasn't doing very well at my explanation. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you very much, Mary and Kathy. Thank you for the for the information for Stormy. I will check her out. I'm not yet really very active on Instagram, but in 2024, I'll hope to step by step, get more proficient in it, as well as other aspects of social media. Yeah, thank you. Those are some great tips. Thank you
Well,
very
the one thing that
much.
I want to add, yeah, before we go on, is that the more you point back, let's say you decide to do Etsy, the more that you point back to Etsy, the higher your Etsy comes up in the search, in search engines. So if you create a Facebook page and point to Etsy, and you create a LinkedIn and point to your Etsy, and you create an Instagram and point to your Etsy, what you're doing is you're pushing your Etsy up in the search engines.
Wow, okay, so many great tips. Let's see. Yeah, okay. So I'll get started. Yeah, okay. And what are your thoughts on also I'm think in terms of like what you call your shop, within the platform, what you call your store and like the name or tagline and that tying into other things that you might do or
Do you have a name already that you're thinking?
I'm thinking about it. It's just something that I'm not 100% sure with the name yet, honestly. But it's something that came to just popped in my head when
Okay.
someone had asked me about it. And so let's just say it has nothing to do with it has actually nothing to do with
I'm being beckoned, so
selling
I'm going to
clothes.
be walking without I can keep my earbud in, so I'm going to go over with her, but I'm going to
Okay.
be offline.
Yeah, Sherry's at the
Okay.
hospital, so she's going to be listening in from here on. She's still going to
Okay,
be
all
with
the
us, but
best,
just
Sherry.
in listening
Okay.
mode. Sherry, you can turn your video off if you want, and unless you want to leave it on and we can see what's going on. But so Ada, what name is it that you're thinking? What popped into your head?
What popped in, what I was saying is it has nothing to do with it. It's like I'm talking about like peppers or something like that. It's some which just has nothing to do with like let's say a bell pepper or a red pepper, which has nothing to do with clothes or anything. But do you think that you can, you know what I'm saying? You can tie things in, or like you
Oh
say, like
yeah.
something is spicy, this,
You absolutely can tie in any name that really resonates with you, because it has to be something that you love. It has to be a name that you can live with for a long time. And with something as obscure as something like red peppers, you could grow that into any kind of a business you wanted. If you wanted to add blogging, if you wanted to add podcasting, if you wanted to, just get deeper into all kinds of products and services, you could do that under a very obscure name like that, because all you need is a couple of taglines to tie it together.
Yeah, thank you. Because I was like, why is this sticking? It just came to me and then it just stuck. And I'm like, this is crazy because this has nothing to do with clothes, jewelry, or this. But and then I, after, some experiences and things, it's just like you said, it's like, okay, well, maybe there is a way to tie it in because it just felt catchy to me and things like that. And not that it's catchy, but it came to me out of nowhere, almost like your intuition just dropped it in
Yep.
your head. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
yeah,
So
so
all
you're
you need to
saying.
do is work on some branding at that point, and maybe
I'm sure I wrote something.
you can have a picture where you're wearing red. Your profile picture could be you in red. I mean, there could be all kinds of ways that you could tie in some branding with that.
Yeah.
Sherry says
Exactly.
redpeppers.com or chili peppers. Now there is a
Exactly.
band called Chili Peppers, so I don't think you can use chili peppers, but you can
There,
use
there's a
redpeppers.
what called with that? There's a what?
Chili Peppers.
What is it called? You said
A
there was a,
band. There's
oh,
an
a
actual
band.
band
Oh,
called Chili Peppers. So
okay.
weren't they the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Yeah. So I don't know if the Chili Peppers is too close or not, if they've already got that branded, but the Red Peppers, again, Google that, go out and search, see if there's anyone else using that, and see if that domain is even available.
Okay, so in addition to trying to put it for my title for like on my store, is it something I should try to go and try to buy the domain name for it
Yes.
even before I put it out or something like that?
Yes, because somebody else might already be using it. And that makes it complicated for you to really grow something if somebody else has already grown something under that same name.
Right, as well as if I could just put it out on both, and like one would just like you said, I want to be clear that it doesn't belong to someone, otherwise they might, then they might try to put an action for you to stop using it, right,
Right.
on one end. And then on the other end, if I put it out, excuse me, sorry, I'm gonna call. If I put it out and it's not, and I don't put a domain on it, someone else can still take it from my shop and then
Right.
keep the domain, and then still they will then have the legal right. Is that correct?
Correct. So you're definitely going to want to buy the domain. And then there is a thing, and I'll just toss this out, and it's up to you. It depends on how involved you want to get. But you can actually file with the state, and you can trademark the name so that no one else in your state can use it. And then there's also a national trademark. If you wanted to, if you're going to be virtual, which sounds like you are, then you're not going to be tied just to New York. And you might want to do a national trademark on the name. Once it's yours, if you're going to put some money and effort and marketing and grow it into something, and maybe, you know, I'm just talking here, maybe eventually add a nonprofit and now you've got this whole big purpose, and now you're podcasting and you're blogging and you've created this whole thing over a period of time. You don't want it to get away from you at that point, because that's an awful lot of stuff that you'd have to rebrand.
Ooh, can I throw something out also?
Ladies.
Sure. Go ahead, Sherry. Oh, Linda. It's Linda. Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah. In that same vein, there's something in addition to trademarking called a fictitious name. I'm in the state of Pennsylvania. It's a thing there, and it may be common throughout the 50 states. But in the state of Pennsylvania, you want to go on that fictitious name registry in the, I guess would be the Department of Revenue.
in Ohio, it's the Secretary of State.
Okay. And so net, I mean, if you have the domain name, that's great, but they want to be able to, like, if you're, let's say your name is Red Hot Peppers. They don't know that that's A to J. Red Hot Peppers is just some random name. They need to be able to tie it to A to J. And then that also gives you like some legal precedence as having registered the fictitious name, but you also want to look and see if there's any corporations registered with that name, you know, in your state or wherever. So yeah, a little bit of legwork online can keep you from some heartache where you started to build your brand, your company, and some recognition, only to find out that there's somebody that really owns the legal rights to it.
Okay, yeah. Wow, this is great, wonderful. I'm so glad I came. Thank you to all you ladies. Great information. So
the trademark and the fictitious name in the state of Ohio is on the same site. In Ohio, it's under the Secretary of State. And when you go to Secretary of State, it'll say, do you want to do a name search? And you go to that page, that link on our Secretary of State site in Ohio, as Secretary of State, and you put in, you know, the Red Peppers or whatever it is, and it will do a name search, and it will tell you if there's any LLCs under that name, if there's any fictitious names under that name, if there's any trademark names under that name, and it'll tell you whether you're all clear or not. And then once you discover that you're all clear and nobody else is using it, and you've Googled it and nobody else is just out there randomly using it, even if they haven't registered it, then, and you can buy the domain, then you're pretty well to go forward and file with your state or federally if you want, that you now own that name.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you so much.
It's not expensive. It's like $125 or something to get the name. Yeah. Linda. Okay. Linda, I see you.
I'm working on it. Okay. I can't lower my hand.
Okay. I did that for you.
Thank you. Oh. I'm on a tablet, so it's like.
Sometimes it freezes or gets stuck. Hard to slide sometimes.
So one other thing tied in with all of that is, let's say you have a name in mind. You go on your state website and dang it, somebody has that registered. Well, now you know that if you really love the idea, you can tweak the name a little bit and then be able to own that. So that, once again, that legwork early on can allow you to kind of do the slalom, you know, twisting and turning down the hill to avoid some of the issues.
Thank you so much. This is wonderful. So Kathy, definitely, I have a question before that. Please let me know how I can get this recording for later so I can listen to so many wonderful tips.
Yes, it's going to be a Kathy. KathyBenner.com. You see my name right here in my little Hollywood square.
Sure. I'm very familiar.
It's just KathyBenner.com. And when you scroll down my homepage to the free meetups, you can click through and register for the Build a Better Business free recordings.
Okay, that sounds great. I'll do that.
Ada, I also want to, before you ask your question, I also wanted to say that if on Kathy's website, she also has paid master classes or masterminds, and they are separate from these particular phone calls. And if you get into her masterminds, she actually adds another benefit in that you can actually pay her for an hour to do some searching with you.
Oh, wow. Thank you,
you'll see
Sherry.
You'll see it all on my website. Sherry, I'll pay you later. Thanks.
You're welcome, dear.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thanks. Yes. Yeah. So my question is now, because now that I'm thinking of all this, you know, possibilities and everything, that'll probably take a little time. I'm wondering, should I hold off on that name? Is it okay, since I can always change the name? Is it okay to just start it maybe under a more general name to get started the first 30, you know, 60 days while I'm doing all of this in the background?
I don't know, once you sign up for, and here's what I don't know. I don't know your platforms well enough. So if you sign up for Etsy and you sign up, you know, as ABC Dresses, can you change that? How hard is it to change that so that you don't lose all the work you put in? Or do you have to just sign up again with Etsy under the correct name once you decide that?
I think, so, I don't remember exactly offhead, but I think Etsy, allows you to change your name like usually about like 2 times or 3 times, something like that. Or you have a limited amount of times you can change it once you launch. And I think Poshmark, if you have a compelling reason, you can write them or something like that.
Because it's going to be harder for you to go in and kind of reinvent that once you're ready, I probably, if it were me, I would probably take maybe a week and just really concentrate on the name and do my research, decide if I want to get it either fictitiously filed or a trademark filed. And in your state will explain the difference between those as to which one you want to do, and then decide if you want to do it nationally. But I probably would do the name first if it were me. And then that way, when you're ready to launch, you can kind of check mark and say, there, that's done. And I was able to get the domain.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to look up really. So because the thing is with me, I have to be careful because I have a tendency to usually procrastinate, and sometimes things take me a little bit longer. So I'm trying to like not put off getting started too much, you know?
Yeah, I would probably make my first project getting a name nailed down. And then you can start embodying that name. You can start becoming that person. You can start becoming that store. And then that's off your mind. That way, as you're putting this stuff up, you're not saying, well, I could do this color, but if I do that name, I want to do that color. But if I do this other name, I'm going to do this other color. And all of a sudden, you might have your post up there. But now, once you do decide on a name, you got to go back and you got to redo all of that to the right colors, to the right branding. And so I would think it would be easier to just maybe, you know, for the first week or so, just really concentrate on nailing down the name that you want. Linda, what are your thoughts?
There we go. In that same vein, I hear what you're saying, Ada, about not wanting to fall into the like trap of navel gazing and never launching. So what if you did exactly what Kathy said about, you know, getting intentional and diving in on some of this research? I mean, with the internet, you can get a lot of information in a relatively short time. I'm actually going to throw two things at you. In addition to that, while you're snooping around on names, maybe use AI like ChatGPT or whatever one you have access to, and ask it for suggestions for names. And you can tweak it. You can say creative names, fun names, or stylish names, whatever the flavor is that you're after. And it might just throw some gems at you that might help you come up with a really, you know, sparkling, attention-getting name. And in addition to that, in the idea of taking action while you're doing this research, who's to say you can't throw up some like Facebook posts or whatever platforms you're on and just say, you know, I'm so excited. I'm getting ready to unveil my new business, and it's going to be about amazing women's clothing and jewelry. And oh my gosh. And just like start building that interest. Like, you don't even have to say the name yet.
Or you can just say coming soon.
Yeah. Just share what you feel you can share, but start building some interest and some momentum while you're doing the legwork on the back end for right now.
Great suggestions, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda and Kathy and Sherry. Thank you so much.
Now, in the mastermind, we actually open up the ChatGPT and we'll put in, you know, whatever somebody is working on, and we'll mastermind it with you. So, join us.
I definitely have to look and get on it for your mastermind. That'll be coming up in January.
In January. And as a matter of fact, I can even kind of give you the date. I always have to look at the calendar so that I make sure.
I'm going to get a piece of paper to write it down.
January 8th.
Yes, January 8th is going to be our first one. January 8th.
So January 8th, that, what is the title of? I know you have different groups. Which one is that?
It's the Entrepreneurs and Solopreneur Group.
Kathy Benner.
And I'm speaking.
Yes, and Linda's going to be presenting one of her products.
Okay, so you said, oh, wonderful, and both of you there, yes. And you said you'll be opening up the ChatGPT and going through it?
Well, it depends on how the call goes. If that's okay. Because what we're on, and we might, because what we're on in January is our VPS. So I'm going to do a short lesson about your value proposition statement. What value are you bringing to your customer base, to your clients? What is your promise to your customers? And so we're going to be kind of crafting that. So yeah, we might use ChatGPT to do that.
Okay. So that'll be your first event of 2024.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then we're going to segue over and let Linda present one of her products. And then in February, we're going to talk about our storytelling and how to craft that. And we're going to go right through the list. Then in March, we're going to talk about serving other folks that are in the same lane that we're in. And then finally in April, May, June, July, and August, we're going to go through all of how to craft all of our offers.
Okay. Because I know you have Shari was saying on your page, you have different masterminds that you offer. This is among those, right?
Yes, that is correct. Uh-huh. We're going to be on every Monday at noon, and it'll be a different topic. And so it's the entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. They're going to meet on the 8th. And so it's the second Monday one time because the first falls on a Monday. But then starting in February and then on will be the first Monday of every month for this particular group.
Okay. So let me ask a question. Oh, so many great ideas. Okay. So if I want to take some time, those are great ideas, and build interest. So that's separate than if I decided that's my building my business. If I just wanted to also make some sales and just, you know, whatever, separate from just trying to build the whole business platform, just kind of do that separately.
Well, do you have an audience already? I mean, do you already have your stuff listed somewhere?
No, but I have the things. I have the inventory. I don't have them listed.
Yeah, again, I would probably just spend a couple of days or a week or whatever, however long it takes you, depends on how much time you have to put toward it, and try to nail down a name so that you're not redoing all of that branding. And then
Well,
go ahead, go
it
ahead and
sounds like,
launch.
but it sounds like I have to nail down the name, but it's also a good idea that I do all the research. And if I need to file things like what you all told me, I should probably do that first before I get started, it sounds like.
Yeah, you could do all that online.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't
What
have to. Yeah,
you're
you don't have to
saying is
go.
if I focus on it, it may not take too much if I really can concentrate, maybe some couple of
Yeah,
weeks or something.
well, and the because I have opened several businesses, I could probably open your entire business in the next hour.
Oh, okay. So what I need to do is contact Kathy because I have zero experience and Kathy has maximum experience.
But
Yeah,
Sherry
and
agrees with me. I mean, I could go online.
because for me, it could take me a year, and for you, it could take you a
I could
day.
do the research, narrow it down, say, here's the three or four names I have in mind. What's available? Is the domain available? Click buy that. Go to the state website, search the name. It's available. Click buy that. And yeah, Sherry says I named her podcast.
Thank you. I'll be contacting you. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, so and again, on my website, there is a free strategy call. So click in and get one of those.
Okay, will do. It's time
Yeah.
to take some action, and action includes, making the right connections and contacting the right people
Absolutely.
so things can
Absolutely.
actually happen and move forward. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited for you, Ada. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you had one big aha moment, what would it be, Sherry? Did you have any aha moments today?
I just wanted to share this one with Ada. Excuse me a second. If you have a very unique name like mine, that's my name is my website. It is not the name of my podcast, but it is the name of my website. And then from my website, I shoot off to the different platforms and they all get a little bit of a tweak off that name, but they're all basically saying the same message. If I don't know your last name because it just says J here. If you're J and you're talking about peppers, kind of come together and make this unique new word. Like when my kid was little, she used to call pajamas Janamas. And we were actually going to try to create a clothing line called Janamas at one point. So having something cute like that is part of your story will help you with naming your business. Just wanted to share that with you. So I guess my takeaway today is I'm just tired and it's just been a long week and I'm just glad I was here to be able to participate. So thanks, Kathy.
Yes, thank you for being here, Sherry. I know you've had a lot on your plate this week. My big takeaway is what's her first name? Stomi Wellington, a great model for tying products to stories. I am actually going to check that out because I tie stories to all of my virtual products, which are all digital, and I'm not sure exactly how she's tying stories to a physical product. And so I'm excited. That's my aha for today, as I'm excited to check that out. Linda, how about
Store
you?
it's Stormy, Stormy,
Stormy.
if I spelled it wrong.
Yeah, you're missing the R. Okay, so I'm going to write down Stormy and I am going to check that out. Stormy Wellington. Okay, Linda, what is your takeaway?
I loved that Stormy Wellington piece as well. I'm going to check her out. But I hadn't heard the quote from Terry Oberbrunner, prepare for the moment, so the moment is prepared for you. I'm familiar with that concept, and I think of that concept a lot, and I do try to be constantly preparing and at the ready so I can seize a moment and an opportunity whenever it presents itself. But that was just worded so nicely. Thanks for sharing that.
Yep, I like that too. Ada, how about you? I know we handed you a lot of stuff. Any one aha moment stands above the rest for
It was
you?
aha moment after aha moment after aha moment from all of you. Thank you so much. But the biggest takeaway really is really like for myself, I can't speak for everyone, but for myself, when you tap into the right people, you know, just like you three wonderful women, you know, it's, I mean, I could, like, I'm not kidding. I could spend a year on this and still, you know, have myself, you know, a paralysis analysis and hardly get anything. But just like you just said, you could do much of this in an hour, in a day, in a week. It can get so much done when you connect with the right people, you know, in the right information. So thank you very much, ladies, yes. All of you.
Happy and just holidays. Remember, whatever it is that you pull the trigger on, it all can be changed. I mean, it's not like it's carved in stone and you can't change it. And that's what happens. A lot of people think it has to be perfect before I launch because now I'm stuck with it. Well, you're not. It's more work sometimes to change it. And you can alleviate a lot of that hard work by putting a little bit of research in at the beginning. But it's still not that you can't ever change it because you can. So don't be afraid to launch when you think you're ready because you don't feel maybe you've done enough research. So I like to set a time for myself, like I'm going to work on this for 2 days and then I'm going to hit the go button or I'm going to work on this for a week and then I'm going to launch. So maybe set a time frame for yourself, a deadline for yourself.
Yes, thank you. All right. I'm kind of clearing out the decks of other things so I can just, you know, and starting to just organize myself so that I can be consistent with it. Thank you.
I love it. Okay. Well, definitely stay tapped in to our calls. If you go to the kathybinner.com, you can scroll down the homepage to the calendar, click through on the calendar and everything is going to be on the calendar, the dates, the times, the links, because we're going to have a brand new Zoom link come January. And I don't have it here on me right at the moment. So make sure that you go to kathybinner.com and scroll down to the calendar to get the correct links. And so then we'll see everybody in January. So I want to say thank you. Thanks for being on. And any last comments before we go?
Linda, have fun in Canal Winchester.
Yeah, we are already.
I love it.
We're connecting, with friends for lunch today. Beautiful. And we already had breakfast with Kathy and Mark.
Yes, I love it. I love it, love it, love it.
Yeah. Thank you for this meeting.
It was great for you. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ada, it was great to meet you.
Thank you. It was, I'm so glad, you know, that I came and was here. You're all wonderful. Great. Thank you so much. I hope you all have a healthy and prosperous holidays and see you all in the new year.
Yes. We'll see you in January. All right. Yeah.
Great. Have a great productive week, Ada. And we're excited to hear what you come up with for the name of your business.
Thank you.
And
I will do well.
Connect with me through a strategy call between now and then, and I'll chat.
Thank you. Will do. I will do. Thank you so much.
Perfect. I just say, you can't overestimate the value of a mastermind and connecting with like-minded people and brainstorming together. There's just nothing like it.
Absolutely. I am seeing that so much. Thank you so much. You know, the right people, good people. Thank you.
Well, thanks for being on today. And I am excited. The holidays are going to be a lot of fun. And then we will see everyone again in January.
Goodbye. See you then.
Bye.
See you then. Bye.